Good morning. I am so grateful that I get to be here with you this morning. Thank you for inviting me into your homes, your phones, your computers, your living rooms, your kitchens, and we're going to spend a little bit of time together. My name is James, and I live here in Boone, North Carolina, and I currently work at Samaritan's Purse, but before I arrived here almost 2 years ago, I was a pastor in Tampa in Wesley Chapel for 10 years and lived in the area for 18 years. And so it's just kind of crazy how I ended up here. But before I jump into my message, I want to just say to you guys watching that you have struck the pastoral jackpot, that your pastor is very near and dear to my heart, and I love him deeply. And I'm so grateful that he invited me to share with you this morning. So I've been married for almost 24 years. And one thing I've discovered in 24 years that it is impossible for me to change my wife's mindset. As much as I wished I had that superpower, how many of you husbands have figured that out already, that even as much as you try, if my wife doesn't want to do it, it's not going to happen. And so I want to talk today just about this idea of mindsets. Throughout this crazy season with the coronavirus, I got in the habit, my wife and I got in the habit of watching those press briefings from the president. And then I found myself paying attention to the little comment ticker on the right-hand side, and I would read all the comments as they would just be flying by, and it just kind of made me shake my head. People trying to change each other's mindset, trying to, you know, put these comments about how great the president is, or, you know, what a moron they think he is, and all these different things. And I'm just thinking, you're not going to change anybody's mind by putting comments on, you know, this broadcast, this briefing. Anyway, all that to say, I really believe that God needs to change some of our mindsets. And so I'm going to talk about two specific mindsets today, and I'm believing that God's going to help us to change them. We're actually going to ask him at the very end to help us change our mindsets. So according to Oxford Dictionary, the word mindset is, there's the definition, it's an established set of attitudes held by someone. So something that's established, and it's a mindset, an attitude that are held by someone. And so we're going to read a passage of scripture found in Acts chapter 16. And in this story, in this passage, it's about Paul and Silas and some of their crazy adventures. This passage actually takes place on Paul's second missionary journey. He took a missionary trip, visited a bunch of cities, and the city of Philippi was one of the cities, and that's where this story actually takes place. And so if you want to know kind of where that takes place in our modern world, it's like on the coast of Greece. And so just to give you an idea. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 16. We're going to read just a few verses and see what happens. So Acts chapter 16, verse 16 says this. It says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer," pay attention to that, "as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. They dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he," talking about the jailer, "put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks." So a few thoughts from this passage. The first mindset I want to talk about just for a few minutes is a prayer mindset, a prayer mindset. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life or in the history of our nation where it's necessary or crucial for us, the people of God, Christians, to have a prayer mindset. So a few things about a prayer mindset. A prayer mindset is consistent. If you read the first sentence of this passage, it says, now it happens as they went to prayer. The implication, it implies that they went to prayer all the time. It was like a regular daily thing. So Paul and Silas went to prayer like we go to Starbucks or we brush our teeth. It's something they did on the regular. So I go to work early every day, and my window overlooks a parking lot of another part of Samaritan's Purse, and I get to watch people pull in and park. As a matter of fact, I have provided this video for you, and so if you watch it while I talk, it's just 20 seconds long, but it's a time-lapse video of I just set my phone in my window, and for about an hour, just watched the sun come up. It was just beautiful. And those of you in Florida who, it's flat, you can view the beautiful mountains. So anyway, I see people park, and I watch people, often they'll come and park in the same place every day, and I watch them, they sit in their cars for like 5 or 10 minutes before they get out. And you know, it's Samaritan's Purse, and so it's a Christian organization, and I think, man, people are praying. It's their consistent time every day. They go in the parking lot and they spend 5 to 10 minutes in prayer, giving their day to the Lord. And I just think it's awesome because they're developing a mindset of prayer. It's consistent. I told my wife this, and she said, they're probably checking Facebook or Instagram. So I don't know. I'm believing they're in prayer. A prayer mindset is selfless. It's impossible to have a consistent prayer life that is selfish at the same time. By very nature, prayer is selfless. You're actually contending and believing to an invisible God that he's going to do something supernatural in the life of someone else. And so it's just selfless by its very nature. So you might be thinking, okay, great. These guys, Paul and Silas, they had a prayer mindset. Well, wonderful. It landed them in prison. But if they didn't pray, that slave girl would still have remained a slave. And if you read through this story, it's remarkable that just by starting their day in prayer, the end result was, they ended up in prison. We're going to go further on in the story and see what happened. But this slave girl who was bound by a spirit was set free. And she had no reason to be a slave anymore because she wasn't bringing her masters any more profit. And that's what prayer does. It helps free people. A prayer mindset opens doors. Your prayer life will pave the way for God to use you mightily. As a matter of fact, I believe you listening to me preach this message now is simply the result of prayer. A while ago, I made a commitment just in my heart to be faithful and to pray faithfully every day for 5 specific churches. So every day I wake up and I pray for 5 churches, among other things. So I pray for this church here. This is Harvest House Church in Boone. This is my church. I pray for Pastor Daryl, Pastor Courage, the staff here. I pray for the people. I pray for Grow Life Church and Pastor Matt. I mean, that's the church that I planted and started and pastored for 10 years and handed it over to Pastor Matt. I pray for him. I pray for Brave Church and Pastor Ricky in Odessa. I pray for Bay Chapel and Pastor Wes in New Tampa. And I pray for The Resting Place and Pastor Caleb in Tampa. Those are the 5 churches I pray every single day for. And I believe that my prayers helped open up the door for me to talk to you today. And I believe that if God wants to open doors for people, he's going to look to the people who are praying first. There has never been a mighty man or woman of God used by the Lord who didn't have a consistent, robust prayer life. Some of you have been asking for God to use you and move in your life, yet you refuse to have a consistent prayer life or a mindset of prayer. And that might be the one piece of the puzzle that's missing for God to begin to work mightily in your life, is just a prayer life. We're going to see how prayer opens up doors in just a minute when we read further in this story. But prayer opens doors. You know, I just actually got a text today from a friend of mine that's on my prayer list. I pray for this guy every single day, and he's been going through a really rough patch. And he texted me today, and I didn't read the whole text yet, but the headline was, I've decided to get right with God. And one, I believe, God used my prayers to do that, but why is he reaching out to me? I haven't talked to him in years, but it's because I prayed, and so he's reaching out. And you want God to use you mightily? Develop a prayerful mindset. A prayer mindset, another point, invites trouble. If you want a comfortable, easy, impotent life, by all means, stop praying. But if you want God to use you, if you want to live a dangerous kingdom life, start to pray. Let's look at all the amazing things that happened as a result of Paul and Silas's commitment to prayer. They started to pray. All of a sudden, they prayed for this little girl. And these are all the things that happened to them. They were seized. They were dragged into a public marketplace. They were accused. They were lied about. Their clothes were torn off. They were beaten. They were imprisoned. And they were changed. So who wants to join a prayer meeting right now? If this is the result, you might have second thoughts. So imagine for a second that what happened to Paul and Silas happened to you in this day and age in America in 2020. Our culture has never been more sensitive to infringed rights, I believe, than it is now. But for the sake of this moment, put yourself in this story into a modern context and put yourself in their shoes. Let's say you pray for some annoying little girl, and a little while later, you're seized by the authorities, placed in the back of a police cruiser. What are you feeling right now? Put yourself in that mindset, okay? You're arrested for praying for a little girl. What are you feeling? You're in the back of the police car. You're feeling confusion, anger, bewilderment, fear. Then they take you to the police station, which at the time is at a local mall. And so they literally drag you out of the car, drag you into the office in full view of the public. Very embarrassing. How do you feel now? Humiliated, horrified. They take you to a back room and begin to accuse you of harming a little girl. They lie about you. You try to explain, but no one is listening. You think, this is America. There's no way they're actually going to. And yes, they rip your shirt off, they pull out some PVC pipes, and they start to beat the tar out of you. You're screaming, you're crying. Then they take you even deeper into the building, lock you in a prison cell surrounded by a bunch of other prisoners. They put your ankles in chains, and they slam the door shut. And you're thinking, what just happened? No phone call, no family, no way to get out. What on earth do you do? What would your mindset be? So let's read on in the story, because this is what happened to Paul and Silas. Let's read on and see what their mindset was. So the very next verse in verse 25, I love this. It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were all listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed." The second mindset I want to share with you today is a kingdom mindset. Turn to your neighbor, your kids, your wife, and say, you need a kingdom mindset. So a few things about a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset doesn't complain. With what type of mindset do you have to endure everything that Paul and Silas endured and not complain? I want us to capture their mindset in the middle of it. I mean, they were so mistreated. They were lied about, beaten. I mean, all of these things that any of us, if we would encountered any one of those things, we would have pitched a hissy fit and freaked out. And their response was to pray and sing hymns to God. What type of mindset do you have to be in that even in spite of everything that came against you, incredible difficulty, locked up in prison, the inner prison, feet chained up, and your response is to pray, and your response is to sing hymns to God? Many of us would be questioning God. I probably would. We'd be posting on Instagram, complaining. Everybody listen, look at my eyeballs. Paul and Silas's response gives us a picture into what I believe God is looking for in these crazy times that we're living in. Not posting on all these social media and Instagram and freaking out and complaining. They worshiped and they prayed. A kingdom mindset doesn't complain. A kingdom mindset knows who's in charge. They weren't feeling sorry for themselves. They knew their lives belonged to God and that He was working in the situation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul writes this. He says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" We've all heard whining in this time, in this season of confinement and coronavirus. We've heard complaining. And I think the main reason we whine and complain is we haven't settled the ownership issue of our lives. We think we own us. We think we belong to us. When you said yes to Jesus, he got all of you. He got all of us. When we said yes to Jesus, he got our body, our family, our past, our present, our future, our dreams, our sin. He got all of us, including the situations we find ourselves in. And I'm telling you, once you understand that, there's incredible freedom knowing that at any time you can say, okay, Lord, I belong to you. And so I don't know how you're gonna get me out of the situation, but it's up to you because I belong to you. There's so much confidence in prayer when we have the kingdom mindset that we belong to him. Paul and Silas knew that if they landed in prison for doing God's work, God was up to something, and so they worshiped and they prayed. Are you catching the mindset? I'm hoping that that God starts to impart this kingdom mindset, this prayerful mindset into his people, into his church, so we respond differently than maybe we've been responding now. I pray that when we encounter any difficulty, that we hear the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit asking us this question: can you worship me now? Can you worship me now? I know some of you might have been laid off. Maybe your small business is tanking. Maybe you're in debt over your heads. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're freaked out and fearful and you don't know how you're gonna get through this. I still believe the Lord is asking the question, can you worship me now? Because worship in difficult situations shakes things. A kingdom mindset is unshakable. Paul and Silas, when we read through the story, they weren't shaken by it. They said, well, our lives belong to the Lord, and so whatever he wants to do with us is okay, and we trust him. So because they were unshakable, something was gonna shake, and it turns out it was the prison. All the prison doors were shaken. They flew open. It reminds me of a story, not a story. It reminds me of what happened to me years ago. I took a team of church folks to Uganda, Africa. And I remember we were training pastors and leaders and elders. And we were in this building and we were just teaching. And I remember the bishop had come to me and said that some of the leaders were consulting witch doctors to let their crops grow and to heal their sick folks and the family members. And so he asked me to emphasize, you know, and deal with that. And so I remember I was teaching in Uganda, and I remember vividly, this is probably one of the most memorable moments of my entire life, I made this statement. I said, the power of God is greater than the power of the witch doctor. And as I'm standing here right now, I promise you, and there was witnesses to the fact that this happened, the other guys that were on the trip with me, as soon as I made that statement, there was an earthquake, just like this story in Acts chapter 16. So I made the statement, the words came out of my mouth, and literally God validated that statement by shaking the country in the whole building. It was like, it was amazing. And you know, when you're an African, those things make a difference. And everybody's looking around. And when it was done shaking, I said, you see, God is backing me up and I'm telling you the truth. And they talked about it for weeks afterwards. It was one of the like mic drop moments of my whole life. It was a great day for sure. I mean, how many times can you say the Lord emphasized your statement with an earthquake. Well, that's what happened here. God emphasized what was happening by shaking the earth and opening up all the doors. I believe he was saying, this is what I approve. This is what I'm looking for. A mindset that can pray and worship even though they're in the inner prison and all of these things terrible has happened to them, but they still worship. They still pray. What a mindset. Well, let's finish the story and read on in verse 27 of Acts chapter 16. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. So the cultural context, just so you know, if the jail keeper allowed the prisoners to escape, then he was gonna get killed. That was the penalty for, you know, not doing his job. So he figured, well, I'm dead anyway, might as well kill myself. Then it says, but Paul called with a loud voice saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in. So the jailer, the prison keeper, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your whole household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. It's an amazing story. But this, you know, and there's a lot of things that I would love to bring out of it, but I don't have time. But this, a couple things. Number one, a kingdom mindset goes after the one. In Matthew 18, Jesus speaks, he says, if a man tells a little parable, he says, if a man has 100 sheep and one gets lost, will he not leave the 99 and go after the one? What a great example here in Acts chapter 16. At the end of the story, when we finish this passage, we see what God is after. There was a man that was hard to reach in a hard place that God wanted to shine his love and light on, and it was the prison keeper, it was the jailer. We see that at the end of the story, and Paul and Silas didn't see it until the end, but they knew that God was up to something. Think of God's mindset in all this. He's thinking, how can I get this guy who's ready to receive the gospel, ready to love me, ready to experience and encounter my love, how can I get the gospel, the good news of Jesus to them? I know. I'm going to send Paul and Silas, my faithful servants, who have the right mindset, into this place, this dark, hard place, because I know they're going to represent me well. The only people that had access to this guy who ended up getting saved were hardened criminals. And God sent Paul and Silas into that prison like a SWAT team, behind enemy lines, into darkness, into a place filled with hardened hearts, so he could reach that one person. Are you catching the mindset? Let me ask you a question. Where can God send you? Where can he send you? Can he send you to the LGBT community? Can he send you to liberals or conservatives? Can God send you to abortion doctors? Can God send you to pedophiles? Some of us, you know, we're like, no way, forget it. But man, I want to be greatly used by the Lord. I want God to be able to send me anywhere, knowing I will have a prayerful mindset and represent him well, ready to share the good news of Jesus to anybody who needs to hear. Where can God send you? Maybe you're in a situation right now, really difficult, really hard, just like Paul and Silas. It could be a financial prison, a relational prison, a spiritual prison, and you're just locked up and you don't know what to do. And God is using this simple podcast to let you know that your response is to pray and worship. And God is going to shake those things around you so that people that are all around you will see the light of Jesus. I love this story. God shook the earth to open the doors, not so Paul and Silas could come out. He opened the door so the jailer could go in and hear the good news of Jesus. He shook the earth just to make it happen. I believe God wants to impart a prayerful mindset and a kingdom mindset to us today. I want to close by praying two prayers. The first prayer is for those of you who have already received Jesus, but maybe you have found yourself in a dark, hard place like the jailer. Maybe you found yourself in a place and you're like, why am I here? And God has used me in this simple little message to be clear and let you know that he wants you to pray, he wants you to worship, he wants you to have a mindset, a kingdom mindset, so you know what he's about to do. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for every person that's watching this message. I pray, God, that you would impart to us a prayerful mindset and a kingdom mindset, that we wouldn't complain, we wouldn't freak out, we wouldn't be selfish. Lord, that we would consistently come before you, and because we consistently pray, you would open up incredible doors for us to be used mightily for your glory. Lord, let a spirit of impartation happen right now where everybody's at, that you would change the way we see situations, that you would give us eyes to see, like Paul and Silas did, what you're doing, that you're reaching people. Lord, we give you permission to put us in any situation so that you can share the love of Jesus through our lives. Lord, we give you permission to even put us through difficult things. Give us a mindset that is about the Father's business. In Jesus' name, amen. Secondly, I want to pray for those that are watching that maybe you're in a hard, dark place like the jailer. Maybe you identified with the prison keeper in this story, and you're thinking, man, I've been surrounded by hard people my whole life, and I'm in a dark place, and it's hard, and it's difficult. And maybe you just stumbled across this little teaching, and God is using it to speak directly to you right where you're at. The first step of getting out of your prison happens by believing. Will you believe? That is a big question. What do you believe about Jesus? The Bible speaks clearly that Jesus actually came to earth, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for our sins, paid for the sin of all mankind, and was resurrected. And when he rose from the dead, he was resurrected so that we could experience freedom, so we could experience life on the inside of us, a purposeful life, so many things. So I just want to ask you a couple questions and then we'll pray. Will you believe that Jesus was actually God, God's son, God sent to earth to rescue mankind? Will you believe that Jesus died and was resurrected, came back to life miraculously? Will you believe that? And will you receive him into your life today? Will you open the door of your heart to the one who opened the door in that prison, the one who shook the earth? Will you say yes to Jesus? It's not all going to be easy, but man, is it going to be better than anything else you could ever experience? If you want to pray that prayer, I want to lead you in a prayer. It's not a magical prayer. It's just a prayer declaring that you believe Jesus and you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Pray with me. You can pray out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're God's son. I believe you love me and you gave yourself as a ransom for my life. And I receive you today into my life as my Lord and Savior. And I give you all that I am. And like this jailer in this story, I thank you for opening the doors for me. And I thank you for saving me and loving me. And I say yes to you. Thank you for forgiving my sins. In Jesus' name, amen.